There's an old familiar saying that says, God couldn't be with everyone at the same time, so he created mothers. And the statement may be of questionable technical accuracy, but the sentiment is a good one. And so to continue along the theme of mothers and the value of the love and the care and the upbringing that they give to their children, Sister Joy Candle will read a bit of prose called A Mother's Love. Sister Joy.
A Mother's Love. A little boy came up to his mother in the kitchen one evening while she was fixing supper, and he handed her a piece of paper that he had been writing on. After his mom dried her hands on an apron, she read it, and this is what it said. For cutting the grass, $5. For cleaning up my room this week, $1. For going to the store for you, 50 cents. Babysitting my brother while you went shopping, 25 cents. Taking out the garbage, $1. For getting a good report card, $5. For cleaning up and raking the yard, $2. Total owed, $14.75. Well, his mother looked at him standing there, and the boy could see the memories flashing through her mind. She picked up the pen, turned over the paper he'd written on, and this is what she wrote. For the 9 months I nurtured you here, while you were growing inside me there, no charge. For all the nights that I've sat up with you, doctored and nursed and prayed for you, no charge. For all the trying times and all the tears that you've caused through the years, no charge. For all the nights that were filled with dread and for the worries I knew were ahead, no charge. For the toys and food and clothes and even wiping your runny nose, no charge. When you add it up, the cost of my love is no charge, son. When the boy finished reading what his mother had written, there were big tears in his eyes, and he looked straight at his mother and said, Mom, I sure do love you. And then he took the pen, and in great big letters, he wrote, Paid in full.
Brother Mark Candle wants you to know that that's a fictional account and not a personal testimony on Sister Joy's part. Now it's time for us to be privileged to hear Brother Irwin's service with a discourse, and he has chosen a subject, again, very timely for the day, the holiday. His title is The Seed of the Woman. The Seed of the Woman. Brother Irwin.
Thank you, brethren. For an introduction, on May 10, 1908, was the first celebration of modern Mother's Day held in the United States. Anna Mae Jarvis, whose mother tried to reunite families splintered by the Civil War, campaigned for an official day set aside to honor mothers in America. take time this Mother's Day to reflect on the many ways your mom impacted your life. Today, Sunday, May 9th, is unique because we try to honor and pay tribute to your mother and all the mothers of the USA and the world. In the beginning of Bible history, God created Adam and Eve, and they were told to multiply and fill the earth. At the present time, there are millions and possibly 1 or 2 billion mothers. Each mother is special and unique because your mother and my mother brought us into existence. The bond of love between the children and their parents is usually very strong, and likewise, the parents display great love for their children. God intended the parents and their children to have a strong, loving, and lasting relationship. God specified in the Ten Commandments to honor your father and mother. This is the end of our introduction. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, that's Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. We read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 to 25, that's Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 24, and you'll notice that God acted first before Adam knew he did not have a suitable mate. Verse 15 and on. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was his name. And the man gave names to all the cattle, and to the birds of the sky, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and he slept. And then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken from or out of man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Adam and Eve failed in a test of obedience when they partook of the forbidden fruit. At that time, God judged Adam and Eve, and he spoke a prophecy that gave hope to their offspring, saying to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he, that would be the good seed, shall bruise you in the head, and you shall bruise him in the heel. This is taken from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. From the beginning, the identity of the promised seed was a sacred secret of God. This prophetic statement revealed that there would be a deliverer who would destroy the one really represented by the serpent, namely the great serpent, the enemy of God, Satan, the devil. It also indicated that the devil would have a seed, and it would require time for the two seeds to be brought forth and for enmity to develop between them. We're going to give a definition of the word seed so you'll understand what we mean by the word seed. And the word seed is taken from a Hebrew word. It means zera, Z-E-R-A. And it's taken from the Greek word sperma, S-P-E-R-M-A. The Hebrew and the Greek words appear many times in the scriptures with the following uses or applications. One will be agricultural or botanical, and two would be physiological, and three would be metaphorical for offspring. So we're going to use the third definition, and that would be metaphorical for offspring. As already shown, the serpent to whom Satan was directing his words, recorded in Genesis 3:15, was not the animal on the ground. Obviously, it would not understand an issue such as was involved here, a challenge of Jehovah's sovereignty. Therefore, as later developments revealed, God was speaking to an intelligent individual, his arch enemy, Satan, the devil. The book of Job enlightens us on this matter, as there we find Satan presenting his accusations against Job's integrity to Jehovah in order to support his challenge against God's sovereignty. The father, then, of the seed of the woman would be not a literal animal serpent, but an angelic spirit, spirit father, and that would be Satan, the devil. We're going to use one example of the seed of the devil. We read of a fiery exchange of words between Jesus and the Pharisees recorded for us in John chapter 8, verses 38 to 47. This is John chapter 8, 38 to 47. And Jesus is speaking. I speak the things which I have seen with my Father. Therefore you also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. And they said to him, We were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear me, because you are not of God. Adam and Eve had a hope that they would be delivered from their expelled condition through their seed. I'm going to mention that when we took a trip out several years ago, where Sister Dorothea Weber resides at a retirement center, after I gave a talk, a sister said to me that, Erwin, I enjoyed your talk. Everything was in the box. I never heard that expression, in the box. And what that expression, in the box, means that everything would be in harmony with the harvest message. Nothing new for her. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to tell you or suggest two possibilities that are not in the box. And the rest, hopefully the rest of the story will be in the box. Okay, the first story would be that Adam and Eve were told to have children. And I'm going to suggest the possibility that they had one or two girls before they had a man. And you'll notice in Genesis 4:1, Genesis 4:1, this is the NIV. It says, "And Eve said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." So it's very possible that Adam and Eve, after they had one or two girls, were praying to the Lord that they would have a man-child, and they did. So that's one possibility. Okay, so the first possibility goes right into the second possibility, and that would be, as I always wondered why one brother would want to kill another brother. So this is a possibility. The two brothers that were born liked the same sister. And whoever would read or get the approval of the Heavenly Father, they would get the girl that they liked. And I think that this has a lot of merit to it, because you'll notice that many of the stories, many of our operas are based upon a threesome. If you've ever heard Madame Butterfly, it's involved with one man, two women. When she's ready to stab herself, she sings one of the most beautiful arias that you'll ever hear in music. And also in La Bohème, the music is unbelievable. It's so good. So you have never heard Madame Butterfly or La Bohème by Puccini, I'd recommend that you hear it, because the music is just fantastic. So those are two possibilities. If they appeal to you, fine. If they don't, that's fine too. When Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel, I don't think that they understood how their seed would help them and be a benefit to them. Before Adam and Eve realized any possible deliverance from their sons, tragedy and a brutal act of murder was added to their sorrows. So here you have a double tragedy. Not only was one brother killing the other brother, but this just about wiped out any possibility that they would get any relief from the seed. God permitted mankind to multiply during the first world, and with any possible deliverance from the weight of living in an imperfect world. During the first world, God permitted his heavenly sons to materialize, and these sons were not interested in helping man. The fallen angels took as many women as they chose and aided in contaminating the Adamic seed. The fallen angels were very selfish, and they were working in opposition to God's promise of some kind of salvation through the seed of the woman. The fallen angels were concerned about their own seed, and they promoted violence on the earth. The results of the first world would give us five important women. One would be Eve, the mother of the human race. Two would be Noah's wife. We don't have a name for his wife. And three would be the three wives of Noah's sons. And likewise, we don't have a name for the three wives. So we have five individuals, women, that were very important in the first world. God would protect the Adamic seed of the woman in order for the prophecy of Genesis 3:15 to have a future fulfillment. In a patriarchal age, we have four notable male characters: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. We have the names of the wives of these notable Bible characters, and we will see how each wife or wives help us in defining the seed of the woman. Abraham had three women who played a key role, furthering our understanding and unfolding of God's plan. The Apostle Paul adds dignity to these three women by rising their names to a higher level to define three covenants. And the first covenant would be Hagar, and she would be a concubine, and she would represent the law covenant. Sarah would be Abraham's wife, and she would represent the grace covenant. And Keturah, as another wife when Sarah died, would represent the new covenant. The children of their seed would help us to understand the application of the covenants. Hagar had a son called Ishmael, and he would represent an earthly seed. Sarah had a son, Isaac, and this would represent a heavenly seed. And Keturah had 6 children, and these children would represent the world of mankind under the new covenant. So our total amount of children would be 7 earthly and 1 spiritual. Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, uses the women to define an allegory which we will apply, and this applies to us as new creatures. And this is recorded for us in Galatians chapter 4, verses 22 to 31. This is Galatians 4, 22 to 31. For it is written that Abraham had 2 sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son of the free woman through the promise. This contains an allegory, for these women are 2 covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children, who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for more are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. But as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now also. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir without the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman. So the key verse that we'd like to emphasize is verse 31. And I'm going to read that again. It says, so then, brethren, that includes all the brethren in this room and all the Spirit-begotten class, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman. Now, we're going to develop this point in just a little while. God continued to use Old Testament characters to provide lessons for the new creation. Jacob had 2 wives and 2 concubines. His wives were Leah and Rachel, and the concubines were Bilhah and Zilpha. The important part of this story is the fact that the 4 women bore 12 sons who became the start of the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph married the priest of Egypt's daughter, Asenath. And Joseph is a picture of Christ, and he has a predominantly Gentile wife. In a story of Moses, we'd like to mention a more important woman who had a key role in God's plan. Moses' parents were God-fearing, or they were reverencing our Heavenly Father. And they were instrumental in preserving and training the future leader of Israel, Moses. Moses also had a sister called Miriam, and we learn important lessons from her. We'd like to turn our Bibles to 2 obscure, but they're very prominent women who were instrumental in perpetuating the seed of God's people. Turn our Bibles now to Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 to 21. That's Exodus chapter 1, 15 to 21. And we're going to read about 2 important midwives. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was Shiphrah, and the other was named Puah. And he said, when you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth, and you see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but but let the boys live. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and let the boys live? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous, and they give birth before the midwife can get to them. So God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. And it came about, because the midwives feared God, that he established household for them. Now this is just my own personal thought. I think that these two midwives would be in the ancient worthy class. That's just a personal thought. Our next consideration would be a few comments on Mary, who would be the mother of Jesus. Now, we are aware of the unusual pregnancy of Mary and the miracle, the miraculous birth of a perfect son. The point we'd like to emphasize is Mary heard many comments about her son Jesus, and Mary treasured all these things in her heart. We read in Luke chapter 2, that's Luke chapter 2, verses 44 to 52. Luke chapter 2, 44 to 52. But suppose him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey, and he began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. And it came about that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And he, that would be Jesus, said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? And they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. It would be very difficult to comprehend the emotional reaction that Mary had in her heart as she watched her son being nailed to the cross. My own thought would be that Mary did not understand when Jesus died on the cross that Jesus was offering his life as a ransom for mankind. Now we could imagine the double blessing that Mary received at Pentecost. One, Mary was spirit begotten of the Holy Spirit. And two, she understood and comprehended that her son was the foretold Messiah. What a great blessing that would be for her. What joy must have filled her heart to realize that she had a very important role in God's program in fulfilling the Abrahamic promise and also the seed. The next key development in God's program was to reveal the mystery hid from ages. A key point in my mind would be that the Abrahamic promise was meant to bless all the Jews and all the Gentiles who had lived up to this time. This was a basic, fundamental promise. All nations were to be blessed. But the secret that we're going to talk about now is that Jesus, as had been established to the primary seed, however, he was not the seed of the woman, heavenly Jerusalem, at the time of his human birth. True, he was of the natural seed of Abraham through his mother Mary. He was of the tribe of Judah, and both naturally through Mary and legally through his foster father Joseph. And he was of the line of David. So Jesus qualified according to the prophetic promise. But it was not until Jesus was begotten by the Spirit, thus becoming a spiritual son of God, that he became the seed of the woman, and the seed that was to bless all nations. And this occurred at the time of his baptism by John in the Jordan River. Jesus was then about 30 years of age. The Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus manifested itself to John in the form of a dove, and God himself acknowledged Jesus as his son at this time. So the sacred secret concerning the seed is only one feature of the great sacred secret of God's kingdom by his Messiah. And we're going to repeat what we said about our mother. Paul illustrates this action of God by speaking of Abraham, his free wife Sarah, and Isaac, the son by promise. He likens Sarah to heavenly Jerusalem, our mother, that is, mother of the Spirit-begotten Christians. Isaac is likened to these Christians as the offspring or sons of this mother. There are many women in the Bible that we could mention who were outstanding examples to us. In Romans, the 16th chapter, we have a list of many outstanding men and women who had a very active life in the early church. We're going to read Romans chapter 16, verses 1 to 6. That's Romans chapter 16, 1 to 6. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, that you help her in whatever manner she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house, and greet Epaenetus, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia, and greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. So in verse 6, this Mary is another Mary from the early church. I like the names of two women in Romans 16:12, and their name is Tryphena and Tryphosa. I like those two names, Tryphena and Tryphosa. And it could be established in the Bible understanding that these were women, and that would be on page 1620. It's very interesting to note that Paul claims Rufus's mother as his mother. And he says that not only is she his mother, but also my mother, to show the close association that Paul had with a woman to identify that she was his mother. Paul continues in Romans 16, verse 15, and he mentions Philologus and Julia, Nereus and her sister, and Olympus. So we could see that many women played a very important role in the development of the early church. The profound mystery revealed would be the fact that the remnant Jews and Gentiles were going to be invited to a heavenly calling, and this would precede all of the earthly blessings. Another concept we'd like to also mention is the revelation of the fact that all individuals invited to the high calling would be on an equal basis. And this was unheard of at the time. We read in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 28. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 28. For you are all sons of God, that would be male and female, through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Only Adam and Eve were on an equal basis before God. It is true that Adam was the head of the family, but since the fall, women were subject to a lesser role in life, and they were also subject to the whims of men. When the church class is complete, the bride of Christ will assume the role of the second Eve. So now we're going to have a second Eve. In connection with Christ, the church class, the bride of Christ will help in offering life to mankind. I'm going to read one of my many favorite scriptures, and this is Revelation 22:17. And this is on the wall in the Pacific Garden Mission on State Street in Chicago. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride, notice it said bride, say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Now we realize that the scripture says without cost, but we know that Jesus paid the price. He paid for his life with his life so that the water of life would be free. We are thankful for all the mothers who are living and who have lived in the past. We will see in a relatively short time the scripture will be fulfilled that the seed, and that would be Christ and the church, the seed of the woman will be instrumental in giving the victory over Satan. And we're going to close now with Romans 16:20. This is a very important scripture that we don't use as much as we should. We will close with Romans 16:20, and this will be a fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. Romans verse 20. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And may the Lord bless these considerations.